Thank God. Well, we've been talking about for many weeks here the seven steps to the highest kind of faith. And step number one, know the integrity of God's word. Step two, know the reality of our redemption in Christ. We spent many weeks on that. And if you missed some of those, I just encourage you to go on the web to the archive site. That's in your bulletin, and listen, catch up, because these things build on each other. We're going to go to step number three tonight. It's know the reality of the new creation. Know the reality of the new creation. Let's turn over. Let's start in 1 John 3. Thank you, Lord. First John 3, verse 14. 1 John 3:14. It says there, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. This isn't really a text, but this is a place to start. We know that we've passed from death to life. The point where you pass from death to life is when you became born again. When you called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, something happened. And it's not just about joining a church. It's not a religion. It's not just an experience. In reality, we were recreated. And we need to know that. We need to know the reality of that. We need to know that that's not just, well, I joined up a church. Well, I had an experience with God. Well, I just, you know, I became a Christian. You know, some people say, I converted. But if we've really been born again, then our spirits are brand new. Your body didn't become brand new. We know that. Your mind didn't become brand new, thank God. Because, you know, if you were in church or somewhere, you could have been on the street, somebody was talking to you and you got born again. Now you don't know how to get home. Now you don't know your name. You don't know where you are because your mind's wiped clean. No, it's not your mind that was wiped clean, but your spirit, the real you, the real me, was recreated, was born again. That means all things, the Bible said, all things that, all old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So we were born into this family. We have to know the reality of the new birth vitally for ourselves. We need to understand that the moment that we accepted Jesus as our Lord, we were recreated. The moment we received Him and confessed Him as our Lord, we were recreated. And that's when the legal act of redemption, which was wrought in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, became a reality in our lives. In other words, Jesus bought and paid for it on the cross. But until we believed it with our heart and confessed it with our mouth, that's when we got born again. Let's turn over to Romans 10 real quick. That's when we pass from death to life. Let's turn over to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. Everybody there? Romans 10, verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you what? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So at that point, see, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was buried. He rose from the dead, and he did that for all mankind. And in fact, all mankind were reconciled to him at that point. But until we act on it, nothing happened. But the moment we acted on it, something happened on the inside. We were born again. We were recreated. That's when the legal act of redemption became a reality in our life, and the new birth. We have in our spirit the very life and the very nature of God in our recreated spirit. It's not just an experience. It's not just joining a church. It's the actual rebirth of our spirit. Do you realize your spirit was dead? It had to be reborn. Now, I know we've talked about being born again so many times. Let this sink in. Because we have to know that this is a reality and what really happened. People talk about, well, I got saved. What does that mean? What does that mean that I got saved? Well, I became a Christian. Well, if you really became a Christian, then you're a new person on the inside. Something happened. And the reality of that, if we understand the reality of that, we'll understand legally who we are and what has transpired. Our faith will be buoyed up by that. That we are the very sons and daughters of Almighty God. When we become born again, like we read in 1 John, we've passed from death to life. Now, yeah, we are walking around on the outside. We may have been able to articulate some things in our mind, but on the inside, we were spiritually dead. But when we became born again, something happened. We were recreated as sons and daughters of Almighty God. He's our very own Father, and we're His children. We've passed out of Satan's dominion, spiritual death, into the realm of life through Jesus Christ. See, we were dead. We were not in this family. We were actually under the dominion of Satan, but through Jesus and believing on Him, our spirits were born into the family of God, born again. And God Himself is our Father. Jesus is our brother. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. We know that we're children of God. We're born into the family. You cannot join the family. You have to be born into it. People can't just join the church. You know that? There's religion all over. Say, well, join up our group. See, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the reality of what's going on in the spiritual realm, that the Lord Jesus made a way for us to become into the family of God. And we're so naturally minded sometimes that we're not realizing this reality. And so if we realize this, the effects of realizing the new birth and the new creation, God becomes your very own Father and you are His very own child. You know, we talked about this before. We're not going to go into it now. It was on a previous one. But people talk about generational curses and stuff like this. Can you see this even more clearly? That when you become born again, you are born into the family of God. God is your Father, spiritually speaking. Where does God have any curse in Him? No. People get hyper-spiritual. They start thinking about this. The Bible does talk about certain things, but for the born-again Christian, you won't find any of that in the New Testament. When you're born again, God is your Father. That's the family. You look around. What's your family tree look like? God the Father. Me. You. Jesus. Big brother. There's no curse in that. Why don't you turn over to John 17? I'll read you something here quick. John 17. Why don't you look at me once you get there? I'll read a statement before you get into that. John 17, but you have, because God has become our very own Father, we're His very own child, you have as much freedom to fellowship with the Father as Jesus had in His earthly walk. Because God loves you even as He loved Jesus. And people would say, that can't be true. So look at John 17, 23. John 17, 23. It says, I in them. So Jesus is praying. Look at verse 20. Jesus is praying for believers. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed for Himself. He prayed for His disciples. Here in verse 20, He's praying for believers. Well, that would include you and me in this room right now. I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Does your Bible say that? Something to that effect, if you have a different translation? You have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, you could hardly believe that if the Bible hadn't said it. And that's how a lot of religious people would say, that can't be right. How dare you say that God the Father loves you the way He loves Jesus? Well, I didn't say it. It said, I don't know, this is in my Bible and it's in red. So that means Jesus said it. He said that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So we are in this family, and we just read God loves us just as He loved Jesus. That means we have every right to fellowship with the Father and to come before Him just like Jesus. Jesus paved the way. It's not because of us. But He died for us so that we could be in the family. Somebody said, well, I just can't believe that God loves me just as much as He loved Jesus. Well, thank God I can believe it. I believe the Word and I'm thrilled about it. We can believe it, right? We have a choice. Why don't you turn over to Colossians 1, 18. Colossians 1, 18. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1:18. Why don't you do it this way? Turn to Colossians 1:18. Then can you find Revelation 1? All the way in the back of your Bible. Hold your finger there. Revelation 1. And then Hebrews 1. So Revelation 1, Hebrews 1, and then go to Colossians 1. And we'll start in Colossians, but then you can turn to these other ones easy. You guys got more than two fingers, right? So we're okay. Colossians 1:18, Revelation 1, and Hebrews 1. Look at Colossians 1:18. It said, "And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." See, we were born again and we were redeemed from spiritual death, but Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. We just read it, right? It says that he was the firstborn from the dead. That's exactly what happened to us as well. Turn over to Revelation, where you have your finger. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. It says, "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Aren't you glad? Jesus has the keys of heaven, of Hades and death. But it says in the first part of that verse, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And then look at verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, sorry, 5. Revelation 1:5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." But look at that. It says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead." Look at Hebrews 1:6. It says, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." Let all the angels of God worship him. 1 Peter 1:23. Let's go over to there. I know I'm making you turn to a lot of scripture tonight, but that's okay. We're in church, so. 1 Peter 1:23. We could just quote all these scriptures, but then it's better to lay our eyes on them. 1 Peter 1:23. Actually, we'll go to verse 22. You there? It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Having been born again. So Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And we have been born again the same way, not of incorruptible seed, but incorruptible. We've been born again because of what he did for us. So we are children of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint or equal heirs with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Romans 8:17. We'll look at that real quick. Romans 8:17. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:17, yeah. Verse 16. Actually, we could go back to verse 14. Let's just read verse 14. It says, for as many as you are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or the daughters of God, the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself also bears witness with our spirit. See, that part of you that's been born again, our spirit, that's the part that is alive to God, that God is bearing witness with. And it's that part of us. It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That means we are heirs with him. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we're not magnifying ourselves when we're saying this. See, some people would say, oh, what are you talking about? You are children of God. You're in the family of God. You call yourself sons and daughters of God. I didn't say it. The Bible says it, right? And we didn't make ourselves into this family, right? It's because of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2 says, right? It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus. You couldn't bring yourself from spiritual death into spiritual life. Could you? No, we could not do it. It doesn't matter how good we were. It doesn't matter how good you are on the outside. If you're dead, you're dead. Right? I mean, you're spiritually dead. So I don't care what you do with the flesh and what you do with the mind. You cannot buy your way into life. We had to be born again in the family. The only way to get into the family is to be born into it. I don't care. I mean, you know, you can be adopted in a natural family, but the only way to be a flesh and blood in a natural family is to be born into that family, right? Well, in spiritual things, in God's family, the only way you can become part of the family is to be born into the family. And we did not do it ourselves. We were created in him. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:10. I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes we get two scriptures and that's it. We'll go on that for the rest of the time. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we, everybody there? It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created. Look at that. See, don't let all this stuff go past you tonight because you've heard about being born again, because there is something here that we're getting a hold of. The fact that we were created when we were born again. If we are created, then something changed and we're in a position that we weren't in, that could not be earned, that we were born into. And we were created into. And we have certain rights and privileges because of that. And anything that happened beforehand is gone. You realize that? Anything that you did before you were born again, and we'll get to what about after you're born again as well, but anything you did, let's just deal with that for a minute, before you were born again, that person doesn't exist anymore, spiritually speaking. Oh yeah, your flesh still does, your mind still does, and that's part of the problem. Because your mind will remind you, and it knows what you did, right? And it's going to say, who do you think you are? Don't you remember what you did? I don't care. You hear in church that, oh yeah, you've been born again, you've been changed, but you know what you did, right? You know what you did, but that, in the sight of God, you were born again. Do you realize that other person doesn't exist anymore? You've been recreated. The person that is before you now, the person that you're looking at me through those two windows that we call eyes, that person was recreated into the family of God. Anything that was done before you're born again is gone in the sight of God. And in the judgment seat of the universe, doesn't exist. Now, if you did something on the earth before men, there's people that are in jail. They get born again. They're still in jail. But that doesn't mean that. I mean, I've known about people. this one gentleman, in fact, he's out preaching today. He did something really stupid. When he was young, he was on dope or something. I mean, he wasn't even conscious of what he was doing. And he killed a man. He doesn't have any recollection of doing it. He was completely out of his right mind. You know, he was a young kid, 18, 19 or something, and he killed somebody. And he was put in prison. And he got born again when he was in prison. And he believed that he would, I mean, he just studied and started studying stuff, and he really believed that he was going to get out on parole. And he started telling people, I will get out on parole, first time. And they said, that does not happen. They don't ever let you out on parole. But he went before that parole board, and he basically preached to them. And he convinced them. He said, that man that did that is not the man that is standing before you today. That man is dead. He goes, that man does not exist anymore, and I don't want to kill anybody. I will never kill anybody. That man is gone. And he convinced that parole board. And they paroled him. And he's been preaching the gospel ever since. He's got a big ministry. He's been out for a long time preaching the gospel. But that's right. A lot of people look at you and say, you're crazy, if they don't understand what we're talking about. But before God, your past is your past, and it doesn't exist. God has, just hold your finger there. We didn't even read the scripture yet, did we? Did we? Oh, we started to. Ephesians 2:10, we started to read it. I don't think we finished reading it. Ephesians 2:10, hold your finger there, though, and go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah 43:25. It says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. See, God can do that. We as humans have a little bit more difficult time. You have a memory. How does God do that? I don't know. If he says he can do it, he does it. It says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. So if God said he's not going to remember them, he doesn't remember them. So how many of you think it's in good taste if God's saying, I don't remember something, for you to bring it up? Is that good taste? No, I don't think so. Now, the enemy will bring stuff up to you. The enemy will remind you, and this is what he tries to do, is condemn you and get you to remember everything that you've ever done. But that's not God. Go back over to Ephesians 2, where we were. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For we are whose workmanship? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, we're created. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are a new creation. Thank the Lord. So when people say, "Well, I'm so unworthy. I'm just so unworthy," and they think they're being spiritual. That's not being spiritual. Again, if God said that we are, and we'll read it in a second, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If he said he's created us, then do you think it's in good taste to say, "Well, you know, I'm just not worthy"? If God said we're worthy, is it in good taste to say, "I'm just so unworthy"? People think they're being spiritual doing that. They think they're being humble. "Well, you would never say I'm just so unworthy." And they think they're being spiritual. Any of you who have children, if you say something about your child, say, imagine you told them, "You can do this. You're able to do it. You're smart." And they look at you and say, "I'm stupid. I can't do it." Does that make you happy?
No.
Does that say, "Oh, you're just being so humble. Bless your heart"? Would you say that? Not that you would do that. Does that make you happy? No, it doesn't make you happy. If your heart is for that child and you believe in them and you're saying you can do it, and they say, "No, I can't do it. No, you're smart. No, I'm stupid." Does that make you think, "Oh, you're humble, you have a good heart"? Or does that, what it is just flat out, it's ignorance of the word, but it doesn't bless God for you. When he says you're righteous, and that the first verse we read, or one of the second verse we read about, that God loves us the same as he loves Jesus. Some people say, "Well, that can't be true. That's not true." And they think they're being spiritual. They think that's blessed. "Well, I'm just too humble to say that." No, that's ignorance. If God said that he loves us like he loves Jesus, for us to say, "Oh, no, that's not true." What? So God says one thing and we're going to say, "Well, I know what you said, God, but me and my infinite, you know, few decades of wisdom, I'm going to say what is really the truth, because, you know, this is just more down to earth." Now, men will tell you this. Men will say this. And they'll rally around you and say, "Oh yeah, no, that sounds spiritual. That sounds religious." But what we're talking about, the devil will do anything he can to talk you out of this, to say that's not true. Because the reality of this, think about what we're saying. If we've been recreated after the image of Jesus, you've been born again into the family, then that means you are whatever God said you are. That means Satan has no legal right to bring certain things against you, and he does not want men to know that. He wants to keep them in bondage, keep them in remembrance of what they've done. But people in general, all over, are just much more naturally aware of natural things than they are in physical things than they are spiritual things. People treat each other based on what they see naturally and physically, not spiritually. And really, we have no right to judge what God has created. And that's with yourself, and that's with other people. Be very careful about judging, especially a Christian. Saying, "Well, I just don't know about them." You're judging what God has created. You're saying something about them and about God's workmanship. And it's the same thing with ourselves. Because the enemy wants you to start agreeing with him against yourself. Well, I can't do that. Well, I just don't know. Well, I just probably, you know, I'm unworthy or whatever. And if it's against the word, then we ought not to be saying it. We're belittling and complaining about what God has done in the new birth, whether we know it or not. And we're speaking contrary to the word of God. So if we'll keep looking at ourselves based on what the word says, and what is true in Christ. Always look at yourself in Christ. We look so much better in Christ than we do outside of Christ. Don't go by what you see naturally. Don't go by what you see and feel and what other people would see or somebody else says about you. We need to go by what the Bible says. The Father always sees us in Christ. What defeats people is that they are looking at themselves and others from a natural standpoint. You and I have no right to do that. Did you hear me? We have no right to look at ourselves or other people from a natural standpoint. We need to look at things the way God does and how He tells us in His Word. He tells us how He sees us in His Word. For instance, we just go back to the same thing. When God tells us He loves us as we do Jesus, you can look at the natural point. The natural man will say, that's nonsense. But if you look at it that God's word is true and He's telling us what is truth, then you can receive it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Thank you, Lord. Second Corinthians 5:17. Actually, let's look at verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Just think about that for a minute. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. So we're born again. We've been made new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when that man was standing before that parole board, what he was saying, although it sounds strange to natural ears, is actually the truth. Spiritually speaking, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We were made a completely new person when we were born again, recreated in Him. And so, some people, let's see if I have time. I don't know if we really have time to get into this part. Praise God. But suffice to say, I think we can say this. When we look at this, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We can just go ahead and get to verse 21, but let's just read through it. Verse 18 and on. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what we referred to earlier. He made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When did we become the righteousness of God in him? When we are born again. Now, right there, that's another one of those verses. You look at that, people say, if you said, I am the righteousness of God in him, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that would infuriate some religious people. How dare you say that you are righteous? You stinking, low person, unworthy person. What people say this, you're a worm, and they think they're being humble again. That's the enemy. Passing off lies as truth. It says that we might become the righteousness of God in who? In Jesus, in him. That we are the righteousness of God. If he says that we are the righteousness of God, when do we become the righteousness? When we are born again. How much did we have to do with becoming born again? What we had to do is call in the name of Jesus, right? How many of you made yourself righteous? We were created righteous. We were created righteous. God did it. In Christ Jesus, he created us righteous. And that's a truth. God knows it. The angels know it. The demons know it. Satan knows it. But he doesn't want us to know it. If we were created righteous, and that was an act of God because of our believing on Jesus, then we didn't have anything to do with making ourselves righteous. We were born into the family righteous. That's a legal standing. That means there's certain things that we have access to because we're born into the family. And not because you did a bunch of good stuff. It's because you were born into the family. You realize in natural things, there are people that have certain rights and privileges because they're born into a certain family. Right? And people in that family can partake of certain things. People outside the family don't. Same thing with all of us, really. It's the same thing with the family of God. We were born into the family. And that's a reality. It's not something that is just a church creed or doctrine. It's a reality that we passed from death to life when we became born again. And if we get a hold of this and take it as a reality, then that increases our faith. It buoys up our faith. If we'll take God at his word. And I think we'll get into that probably more the next time.